few years ago, while I was in seminary, Maundy Thursday happened to be one of the first beautiful days of spring, and so I decided to play barefoot on the quad all afternoon. Only later, when I went home to wash off, did I realize that no amount of scrubbing would remove the mud stains that covered the bottom of my feet. So I joked that I was offering someone a more authentic 30 AD experience. But the truth is that even weak-stomached as I am, I have never had trouble washing another person's feet. But letting someone see my dirt, just like letting someone see the scars of my journey, is far more difficult for me. Tonight, we remember crucial parts of our own faith that involve intimate love and radical redemption, which cannot happen without exposure and deep vulnerability. Tonight, we remember when Jesus and his disciples first shared the bread and wine that remain the central part of our worship together. We remember the way Jesus demonstrated love for his disciples by washing their feet, and we're instructed to do the same. An incredible expression of the new way that Jesus calls his followers to live, his new commandment, to love one another as he loves us. By remembering these things, we don't just acknowledge that they happened. Just like each time we share communion, this memory means joining in something that is still happening to us and letting it enter into us with the bread and the wine we consume. Sharing in these memories tonight is an expression of the power of memory for us as a people and as a community. We often like to think of memory as individuals, my own collection of events and conversations from my life. Memory shapes us and helps us make sense of a story of our lives. Recently, I've read articles about a study that showed that the more children knew about their family, the better self-esteem and self-confidence they have. It seemed that knowing a story larger than themselves gave them assurance about who they were. And knowing stories of struggles and failures that their family had survived gave them confidence in knowing that they could face difficulty as well. The idea that this shows up in children isn't surprising. Remembering is one of the most powerful expressions of our humanity. Being able to tell my story, to tell who I am, is a fundamentally creative and redemptive act. Although we cannot change the past, we can change how we tell it. And often forgiveness is learning to reshape the narrative of our own lives. Memory is truly a beautiful, God-given thing. It is power we have, something we can control when all else is out of control. Yet because remembering is such a powerful human act, losing memory is also radically destabilizing. Watching someone endure the frustrations of slowly losing their memory is heartbreaking, as if some fundamental part of who they are seems to fade with it. And it doesn't happen only to the elderly like we usually think of. Trauma, shock, and grief often hinder our own abilities to remember, or at least hinders our ability to hold our memories together in a way that enables us to know who we are. In these moments, terrifying as they are, I have only found peace in knowing that memory is far larger than each of us alone. Like children who need a family story, memory is something meant to be shared. It's actually one of the reasons I so appreciate my own infant baptism. I cannot remember being baptized. I have always had to depend on parents, family, and friends to remember that for me. And I also remember at each new baptism when I reaffirm those vows in community. The reason that's powerful to me is because, frankly, I also have times when I struggle to believe that God loves me. You know who reminds me then? That's right. My friends, my family, my community. It's not a memory I can hold alone. It's something that I must allow others to carry for me at times and hold it for me until I'm able to do so again for myself. Now, while all of that may start to sound good, like a nice, warm, fuzzy, happy moment of love, Let's not forget, receiving is not easy. Needing to be carried means I can't walk any further myself, that I am desperate, that I am no longer in control. The idea of depending on a community to remember my baptism is a beautiful idea, but it doesn't mean I actually want to return to being a baby who cannot remember. Because returning there means that I'm dependent on others for a lot more than that. To be fed, to be carried, to be washed. Like depending on others for memory, being washed is deeply vulnerable. When do we let someone wash us except when we are a baby, or when we grow so old as to be unable, or when we have suffered something that has made us unable to do this most basic thing ourselves? And yet, it is what we gather and do here tonight. While washing feet was more common when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, even then it was rare for anyone, even a servant, to wash someone else's feet. The host just usually provided the water and the towel for each person to wash their own feet. So notice that Peter's outcry is not when he is commanded to follow Jesus in washing another person's feet. His struggle comes when Jesus wants to wash his feet. We too like to fast forward to Jesus' command to do as he did after he washed his disciples' feet, because it is the receiving that is really the hard part of this action. Receiving means being passive in a culture that is based on doing. It means acknowledging that we're not in control. We cannot truly receive without letting someone see us in our weakness, and that puts us in a place of terrifying vulnerability. Having our feet washed means letting someone else see our dirt, see the marks and scars accumulated on the journey we have taken. And perhaps it is not so different from allowing others to see and share in the memory that makes us who we are. Tonight we remember beautiful parts of our story, but our gospel reading skips over a section about the betrayal by Judas. And later in the night, other disciples will fall asleep and deny him as well. We cannot forget that those precious memories of Jesus that we celebrate tonight are done in the midst of betrayal, denial, and abandonment. And we too can only know the fullness of redemption by opening up the fullness of our own brokenness, scars, and shame to the most needed of God's infinite grace. We all carry pasts within us that are shameful and dangerous, and yet they are part of us. Avoiding those memories does not lessen their effects, but prevents us from knowing the past, and therefore ourselves, as redeemed. That dangerous, unloved thing about us, the past of the people from whom we come, is deeply part of who each of us are. It is an intimate moment when we let walls come down and let someone see all of who we are. This is the moment that Jesus invites us to tonight, because only in that intimacy, only in that vulnerability, only there can we truly receive his washing. Only there can we receive his grace. Only there can we receive his love. When we open ourselves to being fully known by God, we learn that God loves every bit of who we are. And as we know more and more how strongly and how deeply God loves us, our understanding of how God loved us grows. We find that in seeking to love one another the same way, our own capacity to love has expanded in ways we never knew possible. So tonight, let someone wash the dirt off of your feet. And when you feel most unbearably comfortable, remember that there is nothing to be feared in this intimacy, because God has already loved you to the end. In this moment, and as we walk through these next holy days, may you truly remember all of who you are, a fully redeemed, fully loved child of God. Amen.